So welcome. I'm not sure which episode number this is. I think it's episode number four, to the Upskilling for Change podcast. Today I am speaking to Eloisa, who is another founding member. My name is Fiona. I'm from the UK. Eloisa is from Spain. I will let her introduce herself in a moment. I thought it would be interesting actually to have a conversation around something that Eloisa is doing at the moment, which is the application to become a like a qualified school teacher. So not just a qualified teacher of English, but actually a teacher in sort of state schools. I know sometimes there is a little bit of confusion around this word. So by state school, I mean a school that is regulated and funded by the government. So sometimes we call these public schools as well.
Okay.
First of all, do you want to just quickly introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello. Hello, everybody. My name is Eloisa. I come from Spain and I've been an English teacher for 10 years.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff. And most importantly, you're a founding member of Upskilling for Change as
Yes, of
well.
course.
Okay, so you're going through this at the moment. I wondered if you could briefly explain the process of becoming a teacher in the state
Yes,
school system of Spain.
of course. Yeah, at the moment I'm starting to pass my national exam, and the process to pass to not to pass the process to become a state a public teacher in the Spanish system is quite long, arduous, and complicated. Well, first of all, you need to have a degree in any subject. And secondly, you need to have a master's degree. The master is called Master en Profesorado en Educación Secundaria, because in my case, I'm a secondary school teacher. So it's a master's on secondary education. And then my specialty is English. But for example, another person who studied, let's say, biology needs this master as well in order to enter the public system. Then, well, this master, which is around 2000 euro, I think now.
Wow.
It takes 1 year and a half to have it, and it includes a practice, like real teaching practice in public high schools for 2 months, I think, if I remember well. And once you have your master's degree and your degree, then you're ready to apply for the national exam. The national exam in Spain is called oposiciones, something like oppositions. And why is it called so? It's called oposiciones because it's the candidates who are in opposition to each other. So basically, we compete for a fixed position, which is it's a very rough and very, let's say, extreme situation, because it's not that you're well prepared. As I was telling you before, you have to be very well prepared. You need to be the best because, well, I will tell you later. Well, let's say, well, but basically you need these three steps: having a degree, having your master's degree in secondary education, and then passing the national exam. This exam is composed by two parts. It's usually in June, by the end of June, and the exam is composed by two parts. You got the written part, that is part one. And well, in my case, you got to develop a topic unit. Well, out of 69, I've got 69 topics to study on English subjects. Like, for example, let's say half of my curriculum is linguistics and the other half is English literature. So I have to, let's say, develop one of these topics in an essay that would be around 14, 15 pages. And then I have to do a practical case that is something similar to use of English from CPE. I don't know if you have seen the Cambridge exam. So usually there is a journalistic test with questions and then use of English questions, like giving synonyms, writing compound phrases, giving definitions, defining phrasal verbs, things like that for our specialty, which is English. But in the case of other subjects, they have the same. They have to develop a topic unit and a practical case in their subject. Wow. Okay, yeah, this will be usually the 22nd of June. So, well, you got a whole school year ahead to study and to prepare. Let's say that you're lucky and you pass the first part of the exam, which will be corrected by a panel of five specialized teachers. So not only one person revised your exam, but five of them. Wow. Then once you have passed the written part, then in more or less a week or 2 weeks, you got to go for the oral test. The oral test, it's 1 hour speech in which you need to explain the panel how would you develop 1 year syllabus design. So imagine I'm going to now, at the moment, I'm preparing my syllabus design for a school year.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to prepare a syllabus design composed of 12 didactic units for English level third of ESO, 14-year students. Then I prepare my book. Let's say book, syllable design, school year plan, or scheme of work, however you would like to call it. Then I prepare my book, which is composed of 7 pages maximum with my 12 didactic units. And then I need to, this day, go and give my speech to the 5 members of the panel.
Mm-hmm.
In this speech, first 30 minutes will be devoted to talking about the curriculum, the legal framework, how would you implement it for your community, legal stuff, basically. Yeah. And the second part is just explaining how would you teach one of your units.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
I feel tired just listening to you explain it, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like running a marathon. You know, I passed, 2 years ago, I passed the exam.
Mm.
And by the end, I felt like an intellectual marathon. Like yeah. During the summer, I didn't want to think. But,
because you have been studying, or you will have been studying for months and months and months to do this.
Yes, exactly. The difficulty of this exam is not that it's very long. It's that you got to pass like 3 different parts.
Mm.
You got to write a topic essay in literature, for example. You got to pass the practical case, which is C2 level. And then you got to give your 1 hour speech on your didactic program. Then you have to be prepared. You need to know what's your didactic program about. You need to be familiar with the law. You need to be familiar with how to implement technologies, for example, how to do cool activities in the class. So these kind of things.
Gosh.
Like for me, the most entertaining part, or the part which I more or less enjoyed, was the second part, the oral speech. Because as I was teaching before, I know how to prepare a program and I know how to explain how I work.
Mm.
But if you're a novel teacher, that's a great handicap.
Yeah, I was just thinking a lot of this would come from experience, especially, you know, the curriculum or syllabus design. And that would be very, very difficult, I think, if you haven't actually been teaching already.
Yeah. Yeah. In Spanish, we have an expression for that. They said it has boards, like tiene tablas. Like when you say that a person or a teacher has boards,
mm-hmm.
like he's got the boards for the scenery, like he's got the experience.
Okay.
Like you, whether you got tablas or not.
Okay, so like whether you've
just like in theater, once you've been to the stage and you touch the wood of the board.
Okay. Oh, cool. I like that expression. That's good.
Yeah. So tienes tablas. Once you are an experienced teacher, you're not scared of talking in public. You're not scared. You got your resources to say, hey, listen, in session one, we're doing a warming up. In session two, we're doing this and this and this and this game.
Yeah.
So this is the fun part. Let us put it in between inverted commas.
So I will just say that it sounds probably more difficult, I think, than what we have here in the UK. For a couple of reasons. So because what you're saying is that you have to do your degree, your bachelor's degree, then you have to do a related master's degree, and then you have to do the opposite, the honours, right?
Which is at least 1 year studying.
Yeah.
If you're
and
super
it's independent
smart.
Study.
But sometimes you got to go two or three times until you pass the whole process.
Yeah.
Okay, but let me tell you something that's very important that I would like to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Passing the national exam doesn't guarantee that you're going to work the next school year.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Before you compare it with the UK, because I would like to know about how it works in the UK. Because you know that in Spain, we are in crisis.
Yep.
And there's a huge economical crisis. So once you pass the exam, as I did 2 years ago, then you are put in a waiting list.
Mm-hmm.
And they call this waiting list, they call it la bolsa, like the bag.
Okay.
So you pass the exam, you're put inside of this bag, depending on your mark. If you got a high mark, you're in between the first. If you got a so-and-so mark, then we'll be by the middle and so on.
Mm.
Then you are in this bag and you will be called for as a cover teacher. Substitutions, sick. When another teacher is leaving, you will start working this way.
Okay, so it really is. I didn't realize when you said, you know, it's called opposite the honors because you are literally in opposition. It's a competition, really.
Yeah.
So you're not
Yeah.
You're not really fighting
Of
for a
course,
school
I
place.
said
You're...
this example, excuse me, this example of the bag is for the majority of people. If you're super, super smart, and let's say you don't have experience, but you have a 10 out of 10, then you gain your fixed position and you're going to start working. But that's the minority of people. Because this also works in a system of seniority. When you are working for the system, you're gaining points for the examination process as well.
Okay.
Then
Right.
if you don't have the courses, if you don't have these seniority points, they call them experience time.
Okay.
And then maybe you can afford 4 points in experience time because you've been working for 5 years for them.
Yeah.
Then this person obviously is going to be ahead of a novel teacher.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But yeah, it sounds very tough. It sounds very very
Yeah,
difficult to kind of get through.
It's a process that takes years. So this is what we need to.
You need resilience for that, I think. Persistence and resilience. My second question is, so everything that you've just explained, which again sounds very full on, does it apply to all schools? We're talking about state schools here. But I mean, firstly, what type of schools exist in Spain? Because I'm just making an assumption. Here in the UK, we have private and state, and they have slightly different rules. How does that work there?
Yeah, of course, we also have private schools and we have academies. And then we have something that is called concertado, like concerted school, which is a blended mix in between public fundings and a private institution.
Okay.
So we got these three varieties. And then we got extracurricular academies, like the typical language school or crafting school.
Yeah. So this process that you explained before about going for the, you know, doing the degree and then the master's and then the oposiciones and getting the points and going into the bag, is that for all schools or just
That's
some?
for that. No, that applies for public schools.
Okay.
Public schools, high schools. But if you want to work for a private school, you just enter by curriculum. You send your curriculum and they will interview you. And if you are okay, if they like you, you can start. But still, the problem, well, there are two problems with this. First of all, it's not a transparent process. And they usually put their friends or you need a connection to enter working in these private schools. If you don't know anybody, you're not going to work.
Yeah.
I think this is something very Spanish and very Italian, I don't know, but you need to have a connection or a friend inside the private school to start. And second, the salary is not the same as a public school. You maybe it's like 1,000, 1,200 euro a month, while a public school teacher could earn around 1,800, 1,900.
Interesting. Okay, so actually working in a like a public or state school, like a government funded school, is better for you financially.
Yeah, in Spain, yes. I know that's not the case from other countries in Europe, but in Spain, they kind of take care of their civil workers.
Kind hence, of. Hence the competition, I suppose. That's why so many people are trying.
Exactly. That's why almost everybody wants to enter the system, because once you're there, you know that you got a guaranteed salary, more or less fixed, and it's a decent salary.
Yeah.
It's not turning into a millionaire, but
it's security and a decent wage. It's interesting how that contrasts to the UK, actually, because it's almost the direct opposite.
Let me know
opposite.
About the UK.
So here, really, there's one main way of becoming a qualified teacher, and we refer to qualified teachers as having QTS, which is qualified teacher status. And you get that qualified teacher status, the main way is by doing a PGCE, which is a postgraduate, usually 1 or 2 year course, after you've done your bachelor's degree. So similar to what you were explaining, you do your bachelor's degree, and then you do the postgraduate teacher training. That teacher training then gives you your QTS, your qualified teacher status. Now, interestingly, this postgraduate course often isn't as long as a normal master's degree. So sometimes if you study a master's in something different, you might actually end up with a better or higher qualification, but still not have QTS. It has to be this very, very specific course that gives you the qualified teacher status. That's the main way of doing it. And then once you have QTS, you can pretty much work anywhere. There are other ways that you can do that. As I said, probably 90%, I'm just guessing, but I'd say confidently, 90% around there probably get their QTS from this method, this program. But there are some other ways as well. So you can, for example, you can start as a teaching assistant. If you're working in a good school as a teaching assistant, then you can kind of work your way up through supervised experience and eventually end up, getting the relevant qualification, becoming a recognized teacher, QTS status, without doing the postgraduate course, basically through experience. So a little bit like the point system that you were describing. But less people do that. Yeah, less people do that. And also not all schools offer that either. Some schools will just hire people with the PGCE and that's it. But some will actually support existing staff to kind of work their way up to qualified teachers. So yeah, that's the main way. State schools, government-funded schools require this. So exactly like you've said, in Spain, you can't work in a state school in the UK without QTS, unless you are support staff. But as a main teacher, you can't. But some private schools and sort of private institutions, you might be able to, get in without it.
It's very similar to our masters.
I was gonna say, I mean, probably less intense actually than the process that you're describing, I think, and a little bit shorter. I was gonna ask if there are any other ways similar to what I have described to this, if you join a good school, you work as a teaching assistant or staff, you can work your way up and you can kind of get there without doing the PGCE. Is there a way to do that in your system?
Well, there are two things. Most of the teachers' friends that I have that work for private institutions, they work for language schools in the afternoon. And they give extra curricular classes like English as a second language. They teach B1, B2 levels. They teach maybe Cambridge or Trinity courses. And this is what I've been doing for years as well. And I was very happy. But this job, it's normally part-time. So it's very difficult that you're going to have a complete salary by working this way. Contracts are usually 20 hours a week or 25 hours a week. And the wage is normally 800, 900 euro a month, if it's a decent school. And then some other teachers, what they do is that they teach one-to-one classes in the mornings, or they do other kind of courses in the mornings just to complement the salary. And well, as regards the public system, you can enter if you're lucky enough to be in an extraordinary list. So what they call extraordinary list is something that is open to guarantee that they are not going to run out of teachers. And but just in certain situations is when they are calling people from this list. It's like a list B. Like you got list A and then you got list B.
Yep.
For example, so it was the case in the COVID, like in the year 2019 and 20 school year, they ran out of teachers and they started calling people from this extraordinary list.
Wow.
And then today, there's some people, which I know, they are friends of mine, working without having passed the exam.
Okay.
But as I said, it's a very strange situation because normally there's no other way. So you can sign up for any extraordinary list that they released. And these lists are based in the different communities. For example, last week, they launched one in La Rioja. Or some other times they open Ceuta and Melilla, basically because nobody wants to go there. And then if you put your names in the list, they will be calling you by the next school year. And this is why people start working in order to make points for the exam too. So maybe they move to another community, they start working from the extraordinary list, and then they take the exam in their home communities and then something like that.
Okay. So if you're lucky, you can kind of get onto an emergency list, I suppose.
Yeah, some kind of crisis. That was my plan B. And I was thinking about this, but as I said, there's crisis and they haven't launched much this year because we are suffering the after COVID effect, I think, and from the war and all. So I had the Canary Islands in my mind, of course, and I had Ceuta and Melilla too, but they haven't launched my specialty that is English in these communities this year, unfortunately. But yeah, why not?
See, I think these would be really interesting places to work as well.
Yeah. But I wouldn't go northways because it's very cold.
Okay, my last question then. You kind of answered this already, really, but just briefly, what are the options for teachers without the opposition? So you said you can kind of work in private schools, but you get paid less. There are academies, extracurricular academies as well. Apart from a difference in pay, are there any other advantages or disadvantages to these kinds of positions?
The disadvantage is that when you're working for a private company, you got to do what they are demanding to you. And then you got to follow their method or the syllabus or their ways, let's say. But when you work for a public institution, you got your didactic syllabus, but you don't have a boss breathing on your neck. That's the main difference. And also, if the company doesn't like you, they can kick you. But when you are working for a public institution, they have to demonstrate, they have to show that this person is not qualified, and it's very difficult.
Okay.
So I can say that public teachers work much more relaxed than private ones here in Spain.
Interesting. So you've got a lot more work to begin with, but once you get into the job, there's a lot more security, a lot more regulation protecting you as well. And of course, the salary is better as well. Job security is better.
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
Well, I'm in that position. Let me finish with something optimistic.
Okay.
I'm in the position 180 in my community.
Okay.
So my turn will come in months. So maybe
that's good.
4 or 5 months, I will start working. So I'm already in.
What sort of numbers are we looking at? Because 180 sounds like it could be high
yeah,
or low. I don't
like
know. What sort of numbers?
180 people should go away, so should move, so that it's my turn.
Okay.
But we're talking about the whole Andalusian community.
Okay, so that's quite a wide area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that depending on how it moves, like for example, January is a good month, February is a good month, then in spring it stops. So it's, for me, it's just a question of months, but I need to continue taking the exam to see if I can get it.
Yeah, to get a higher position on the list, you mean?
That's it.
Yeah.
And to get the
Okay.
points.
Well, good luck. It's all that's left to say is good luck. Keep studying. I
Thank
know that you've
you.
been studying, and you mentioned to me before we started recording as well that some people study for like 2 years for this,
Yeah.
at least. So, keep going.
Yes,
Keep at
we
it.
go. There we go.
I know you'll get it. I can imagine that people would have further questions for this actually, because it kind of raises a lot of
Yeah,
interesting
especially
points.
people from other countries, like comparing the Spanish and the British system. Like the other day, I was talking to a Hungarian colleague, and she said, "I don't understand why you're studying for the national exam to be a national teacher, because nobody wants to be a national teacher in Hungary." For example.
Yeah, same here. It's in fact, currently at the time of speaking to you, the teachers and education professionals in the UK are voting to go on strike,
Yeah.
because their pay and conditions are so bad,
Oh no.
That they're, it looks like the unions are going on strike. So it's the same here. It's crazy to think that getting a position in a state school would be so competitive, because definitely here in the UK, it's not one of the most desired jobs.
Amazing. Yeah. And here the competitivity is huge. But yeah, so imagine that I wanted to go to the UK to become a teacher. What should I do?
I mean, actually, you might be in quite a good position, because the PGC that I mentioned earlier, while actually master's degrees are normally very expensive here in the UK, for this course, because of the state of things, and because there are many subjects in which we are lacking teachers, you can actually get funding for quite a few of these. So, and I think foreign languages is one of them, because we don't really have very many people in the UK who can speak or teach foreign languages. So if you were, for example, if you were to come here and train to be a teacher of Spanish language, as an
Yes.
example, you might very well get funded to do the course and get QTS,
Wow,
here
that's
in the UK.
amazing. That's good
Yeah,
to
so
know.
yeah. So we're a bit more desperate for teachers than you guys are.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Well, what they did here, you mentioned that people are going on strike. What they did here is that instead of lowering the salaries, they are making bigger groups per class. Like the ratio of students per class is bigger. Like before it was 25 students per class. This year is 30 in secondary school and 40 for bachelor studies, for bachelorette.
Wow.
So it's too many people to teach a class. So that's a way in which they can save a teacher.
Yeah.
If one class becomes two.
I think they have done that here, and they've also cut back on resources as well. So like the physical things that the kids need to study, there are fewer of. Yeah, and also, of course, we have the energy crisis at the moment as well, and a lot of schools have been saying, you know, we have a choice between paying our energy bills or not paying, you know, basically paying them and firing a teacher, or keeping all our teachers and paying the energy bills.
That's horrible.
So, yeah, so things are not great here. So hopefully it's resolved quite soon, and you know, things can kind of continue.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
Let's just wish that the war is over.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, as I've said, good luck. And if anyone wants to ask any questions, please do contact us anywhere, really. This will be posted on Instagram as well. Feel free to put your comments there. And you can also listen, I think, on Spotify, on the website, on Buzzsprout, everywhere. So
very cool.
Okay, thank you again. And see you next time.